This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with retired jockey Nick Sanagata at the end of Saratoga. What's it like at the end of Saratoga? It was kind of bittersweet, or what's it like?
Well, I mean, everybody's got their own opinion. They like to get back home quick, but, I mean, I love it up here. I mean, the air is fresh. The people are fantastic. The racing is great, and it's just a shame that it has to end. And, you know, you got to look forward to the winter, which is, you know, it's just always hard to grind out and everything. But, you know, I just can't wait to get up here next year. Hope maybe they'll make the meet a little longer still.
And you've been in the jocks room a long time as a jockey in a valet. Talk to me the first day you walk in the jocks room as a young kid.
Well, yeah, I mean, you walk in the first day as an apprentice rider, a 10-pound bug, and, you know, I'm looking to the left. I have Angel Cordero. I'm looking to the right. I got Jacinto Vasquez, George Velasquez, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, being a baseball player and you got the locker room with Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays or somebody. But, I mean, I was in all of those jockeys, and I still am.
You made it right there with him.
Well, yeah, I mean, my hard work, thank God, and my perseverance, it got me through a great career, thank God. And, you know, I'm a valet. I have two riders now, and I just wish them the best of luck this winter.
Yeah, who are your two riders?
I have a gentleman from Barbados, good rider, Jalome Sommel. He's just looking to get some live horses, which he'll get pretty soon and make the most of his chances. And I have an apprentice, 10-pound bug, Omar Hernandez. And he's just kind of started out from scratch over here at Belmont and Saratoga, and he's just waiting, you know, just waiting to ride a little couple live horses in the wintertime, and hopefully he can get his career started.
And you mentor those guys? I mean, as a retired jockey, you just try to help them out and give them some advice, or what's that like?
You know, I try to help them out a little, but, you know, everybody in the jockey's room, they're so nice over here, and all the riders always, after a race, they'll take them aside and they'll give them pointers and everything. Jose Ortiz and Irad and everybody, and they'll just, you know, they just want to see him do good too, you know.
So for you, in the jockey's room, is it something that's just home, I guess, for you? I mean, you've been in there a long time, and feel, I mean, that's your life, I guess.
I mean. You know, after you retire, you know, unless you can, you know, the best job you can get, unless you get a live rider as an agent or something, you get a good, decent steward job. But, I mean, I fell right into the jockey's room, a valet job. And I love it there because, you know, it's kind of home, and I know everybody in there. And, you know, we're kind of one little big family in there, and everybody looks out for everybody. And it's a great job. It's a great place to make a living.
So when I'm driving on the, what is that, Cross Island or Belt Parkway, and I see that sign, Riding Academy, that's where it all started, huh?
Yeah, the Belt Parkway, right to the right of it. They still have a riding academy called the Jamaica Bay Riding Academy. And when I started out there, it was like 1973 or 74, 75. I took jockey lessons there, you know. And the guy said to me, listen, you're never going to make it. Yeah, he said, you never make it as a jockey. And he gave me a car to be a merchant marine. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't listen to him, thank God.
So how did you wind up there? I mean, your family followed the horses, or you just walked in one day?
I don't know. I mean, I wanted to be in the bowling industry. I wanted to be a professional bowler. I worked in a bowling alley all my life as a mechanic. And when I graduated from high school, I don't know, I just, for some reason, a couple of people in the bowling alley said, oh, you're small, why don't you try to be a jockey? And I tried it, and I'm still here. Yeah, it's amazing. I wasn't fortunate like, you know, a lot of riders from Puerto Rico that can go to the jockey school, they can learn, and you know, you have guys like Steve Asmussen, who I used to ride against, and Wesley Ward, and they were naturals, of course. I mean, they were born into it, you know. Me, I had to learn. I was born on cement, you know, cement and smog, and I had to learn from scratch, learn from everybody. And you know, the way everybody helps the apprentices today, you know, Angel Cordero's take me aside and help me out, and guys like George Velasquez. That's why I always respect everybody.
So you go from riding at the Riding Academy. How long did it take to get to the racetrack from there?
Well, I mean, I like to tell everybody, I did everything wrong. I learned at the racetrack, which you probably shouldn't do. You should learn at a farm. I start riding at a track where I was aqueduct, you know, where I learned and start riding at, which you got to, you know, you go to a little minor track and, you know, you make your mistakes, you polish yourself up. Then you come to a major track. And number three, I signed a contract with a trainer which, you know, I mean, it was those days, you know, you didn't sign a contract, he wouldn't ride you. So I wound up signing a contract, and I did everything wrong. And I try to help the, you know, riders today, and I try to, you know, point them to, you know, try to make better decisions than I did, you know.
You were just learning on the fly. I mean, nobody's helping you. You didn't have anybody in the no family in it. You really just learned on the fly.
Exactly. I mean, it was trial and error. You know, I mean, I ride a race, I make a mistake, I try to improve. I look at everybody. We didn't have no equalizer that day, you know, so you had to ride a bale of hay, you know. And it was just like I started from scratch, you know, look at Angel, look at Georgie, look at Jacinto. And, I mean, the riders I rode against during the all year round at Aqueduct made you be a better rider, you know?
And you made it. You made it on the New Jersey circuit, New York circuit. I mean, a lot of Aqueduct in the winter, and then you did great around New Jersey parks, places like that.
I mean, I did good in the winter. And when March, April came around, you know, I kind of knew it was going to get a little tough. Everybody come back from Florida. And I just didn't want to, you know, I wanted to ride a whole card, you know, a lot of horses and do a little bit and be successful. I went to Mama Park, which wound up being the best times of my life. And then I would come back again in the winter, in the fall, riding the Meadowlands and Belmont Aqueduct. But, I mean, I did a lot of traveling in my life.
And you won a lot of races. How many races did you win total?
I mean, I won 4,140 races. And I did it the hard way, night and day. I mean, people say, oh, yeah, why you won all the races? Why don't you retire? We had no slot machines in those days. We had no sports betting. So we couldn't, I couldn't have those purses, you know. I couldn't, you know, the purse they got today, they weren't there yesterday, you know.
Should have been a jump jockey. Talk about no purses.
Let me tell you, I rode 37,000 races, and you yourself and my buddy Ricky Hendricks, and I see them ride jump races, and I would never do it. Those are riders that have nerve and a nerve of steel. God bless them.
Why did you make it? Hard work, talent? I mean, how did you make it?
I mean, I was athletic. I was okay. I was okay as a rider. Hard work. I mean, I would rarely miss a morning, you know, out every morning, hit every barn, you know, and try to work horses for trainers. I would work horses. I would go out of town to ride for them. And I would try to open as many doors as I can, you know. I mean, there's two things my father blessed me with. One he blessed me with was hard work. But another thing I was cursed with, my whole life was a temper. You know, and I'm the first to admit it. I mean, I wish I never had a temper. I wish I walked around the racetrack and the jockeys were like a Ramon Dominguez. You know, gentleman, soft-spoken, you know. But I apologize for my temper. I really do.
Yeah, I played a few softball games with your brother. That's born into that family.
That's what I said. I said it's in the breeding. You know, my brother, I mean, I was intense. You know, nowadays, if somebody's a good rider and he's got a temper, they call it intense. Me, it was the temper. But yes, me and my brother, we do have a temper. I have to say it.
So what about the epic five-rounder Harry Rice talked about? I mean, was that temper-induced, I guess?
You know, I mean, if you have a whole bunch of jockeys coming back, you had a whole bunch of everybody going back into the same locker room, you know, tempers are going to flare once in a while. Probably a day or two later, we probably shake hands and make friends, you know. Nowadays, it's just, you know, they'll probably sue you or, you know, you got to go to court. So, you know, it was kind of like, you know, in those days, I mean, you can have a little scaffolding. You know, you shake hands about a month later, 2 weeks later, and you're friends, you know.
Who won the fight?
I think it was a dead heat, you know. So, probably was a dead heat, so I don't know. I'll let Harry ask you that one.
But your temper, was that something you had to try to control? I mean, you recognize that? Or in the heat of the moment, being a jockey, it's tough to actually recognize your flaws and try to improve things.
Well, I mean, when you come back after a race, and I was the kind of rider where, I mean, my opportunities were, you know, limited. You ride a bad race, you get beat, you know, you think, oh, I'm on fire, the train's going to fire me, you know, there goes my business. And, you know, so you kind of blow your cork, you know, you lose a race or somebody knows. And, you know, I mean, you see a lot of baseball players. Listen, there's a lot of jockeys and baseball players and athletes that have done everything I've done, and they have gotten sportsmanship awards, you know, but me, you know, I mean, it is what it is, you know. It is what it is.
But you had respect for your peers. I mean, that's important.
Listen, I have respect for a rider, you know. I mean, everybody says, oh, the riders, look at the money they're making, look at this. listen, your life can change in a split second. Look at my friend Ramon Dominguez, or you know, look at Rene Douglas and Ron Turcotte. I mean, who was higher in the game than they were? And then look at Barbaro, the owners of Barbaro. And the next minute, boom, there goes your world. And you know, that's why every time, you know, you see somebody that's never been on a horse or never ridden a race, oh, he's chicken. Or you see a guy or better, he's chicken, you know. You get on, let me throw you out of a car 30 miles an hour, see how it feels, you know. And, I, you know, don't get me wrong, that's what we sign ourselves up for. That's what they tell you. But, listen, it's nothing like pain, you know, to make you miserable.
Yeah, I mean, the jockstream, there's some great days, but there's some really hard days, too. I mean, you've been in there a few times in those hard days. So the Ramon Dominguez getting hurt, Ron Turcotte, Mike Venezia, of course. I mean, those days are tough, right?
You know, if you have a bad day, you don't want to race. You know, it's a bad day. Don't get me wrong. But on the side of the coin, you know, thank God you came home safe. You're going to go home to your families. And, you know, the stewards today and the way racing is today and the way riders are today, you know, everybody just, you know, they want to win races today. And it's like that everywhere. But they also, you know, it's a competitive market. And everybody wants to just go home to their families at night. You know, I mean, it's just no call for, like, trying to drop a rider or something, you know. Or you're in football and you want a head-to-head hit. It's things like that just don't belong. I mean, you know, people just want to make a living and go home. Go home to your family, you know.
Has that changed over the years? Is it cleaner now than it was?
I think the game, you know, the way the riders are today, I think it's, you know, it's a lot safer. You have cameras a lot. You have a lot of cameras now. It's not like the days, you know, back when Seabiscuit was running and, you know, you can do this and do that. I mean, the stewards are, you know, they have impeccable reputations, you know, to make the game safe. And all you want to do at the end of the day is, you know, you want the horse to come home safe. You know, you want the rider to come home safe. And, you know, you just want to move on. I mean, just it's no call for, you know, trying to drop a guy and have a spill or something, you know?
Yeah, the respect that you guys have in that room, I mean, that goes valid to the jockeys, everybody. I mean, it is a family, and you're working together. As hard as you are as competitors, you are working together to try to keep everybody safe.
Every aspect of the game, I've grown to, since I haven't been riding anymore, I've grown to have so much more respect for valets. The way they work every day, it's just a tough job. You know, you got one or two riders, you got to do this. You got a little window of opportunity to get back for the next race. And grooms are the most unheralded, you know, people in the game. I mean, I see grooms that they're all day long, you know, and hot walkers and trainers and assistant trainers. You know, you get married to the job. You know, and I have to tell you, I mean, look at you. When you was riding, you probably did the same thing I did. And, you know, you're a horseman, you just... I mean, if you don't put yourself 100% into this game, you probably won't be successful. You know,
you're out there in the morning. I mean, you got them for Kelly Breen all summer long. How many you get on a bunch of horses in the morning too?
I mean, I work for Kelly Breen. I've worked for Gary Contessa, and I mean, I get up 4:15 in the morning. And I'm out by 5 o'clock, and it's a whole day. And then I come into the jock's room and I'll saddle horses. I'll do tack and everything. And you know, by the end of the day, you're tired. But on the other hand, it's like, I mean, that's what used to. I mean, this morning I had a morning off, and I feel like, I don't know, my body's like out of whack with a morning off, you know? So, you know, I mean, you know, you see guys like Alan Jerkins, Wayne Lucas, and Nick Zito. I mean, we're lifers, you know, Parkley Tag, and, you know, we're kind of lifers, I guess, in the game, you know?
Sure beats the Merchant Marines.
Absolutely. I mean, the greatest decision I made in my life is becoming a jockey and come on the racetrack.
That's a long way from the riding academy on the Belt Parkway.
It's a long, long way. Yes, it is. A lot of miles.
They have your picture on the wall of that academy. They must have you as a hero there or something, right? I mean, you must.
Heck no. I went in there a couple of years ago and I said if they wanted me to teach somebody there, they kind of threw me out, you know. The only bad thing about sometimes this game is you're only as good as your last act. I mean, you ride a race, you win, you're great. The next race you lose and boo, they boo you, you know. So, you know, it's a short window of opportunity, you know, to shake your hand. It's like bowling, you know, you win a race and right away there's 10 more pins to do it again, you know.
And for the Fanticipate question of the day, who was your biggest fan when you were a jockey?
My biggest fan? Probably my father, who probably never really got to see me ride. He died when I was a 10-pound bug, so you know. And I really, he was my biggest friend, and I wish that he could have lived to see me ride my whole career. Thank you.
That's Nick Sanagata. Your dad be proud of you, my man.